Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, play-by-play voice of the first-place Detroit Tigers. That is Dan Dickerson. Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm great, Jack. How are you?
Just fine. Well, you've had a very exciting season of baseball there, including the imperfect perfect game.
It's been a first half full of highlights, really, when you think of it. I mean, there have been so many things that have happened. That one's going to be burned in my brain for a long time, the imperfect perfect game. And that night was so special because of how it just so quickly unfolded, and then you realize all along, but still, all of a sudden you're in the seventh inning of a perfect game, and the intensity and the electricity in the ballpark, Jack, was just something I'll never forget. And then, you know, you had the passing of Ernie Harwell in May. I'll
sure.
remember exactly where I was when I got the word of his passing, and you had the Joel Zamaya throwing a pitch and collapsing to the ground. I mean, just so many things have happened, but there have been so many good things as well. I mean, I think Brendan Bosch, Jack, remains one of the fascinating stories in all of baseball. I mean,
yeah.
My 40-plus years of watching Tigers baseball, I can't remember a rookie making the impact this young man has made, and he's keeping it up, and it's fascinating.
Dan, as you mentioned, so many highlights. Let's start with a life highlight for a lot of people, and that is Ernie Harwell. And I know that he was extremely important to you, as he was to a lot of people in the state of Michigan. But on a personal level, you're carrying on and carrying a lot of Ernie with you.
I feel like I carry a piece into the booth every night, just because growing up listening to him, I think you can't help but, you know, take some of what he did and how he broadcast the game and bring it, you know, to your own style. We have different styles,
sure.
But I always liked the way he gave a good call for both teams.
Right.
And just kind of told you factually what was going on. And, you know, the kind of left, for the most part, you know, kind of opinions out of it. And then, you know, that's for someone else to figure out. So he just, you know, the impact that he had on my life, Jack, I mean, he gave me encouragement when I was just practicing over at Tiger Stadium.
Right.
I finally got a chance to do a Michigan football game play-by-play, and he sent me a note after that game just saying that he heard it and he thought it was excellent. And I kept that note. And, you know, the advice he gave through the years and the encouragement when they decided to add a third person to the booth in 2000, all of those things were big. And like I said, I hope I carry a piece of him. I know I do, into the booth every night.
Dan, have you thought of how he might have called that last out or non-out with Armando Galarraga?
How he might have?
Yeah.
I can hear it. I really could. I could. I did think about that. It's funny you ask. I don't know. You just can't help but think, all right, how'd I do? How'd I call it? And then how would he have called it? And I think he would have had, again, our styles are different, but that same level of, all you have to do is try to convey the incredulity of the moment. I think that's the best thing you can do, and try to capture the emotions of the moment. And there were so many conflicting emotions at that moment that you just hope you do some service for the fans, because there were so many things going through everybody's mind. And then you see the replay and you think, oh my goodness. And then you remember the human element of the game and you try to tie all that together.
Perfect games are so extraordinarily rare, but in this case, you've got a guy that no one would have predicted would throw one, and here he is back in the minors.
Yeah, and he's just there, Jack, just because they don't need a fifth starter until after the All-Star break. He does need to, I think. We just need to see a little more sharpness in his stuff. We need to see a little more in the way of swings and misses from Armando. I think it's there. I don't think 2008 was a mirage. But he's been somewhat hittable since the perfect game. And, again, I don't think it's punishment in any way, but the Tigers wanted that bullpen depth for the weekend series, and I think that's the main reason the move was made. But I think that, you know, they're still looking for more from Armando, and I think it's there. But he could be a big part of the second half.
When we talk about bullpen depth and a big hole in that bullpen, what can you tell us about Joel Zamaya and where he is now and what the timetable might be?
Well, they're going to insert the screw into his elbow to repair the fracture. That's fairly common for what I think is an uncommon injury. But it's been done enough times that is not uncommon. Jason Grilley had the same thing and came back throwing as hard as ever, mid-90s fastball for Jason Grilley. So I think that the timetable remains pretty much the same, which was 4 months to let the fracture heal. and then sometime later this year begin a throwing program and hope to build towards spring training. Whether it's late in spring training or early in spring training, I don't know. But I would think that, again, if all goes well, you know, he comes back in the spring and he's able to pitch for the Tigers again next year.
We've seen what he can do when he's throwing the ball 100 miles an hour.
Oh,
is he injury prone or snake bit, or
well,
is there anything in his delivery?
Well, the finger, I mean, the one injury was a freak injury when the box fell on him. But the finger injury, you know, they thought maybe he gripped the ball a certain way that led to that. I'm just not sure the human arm is meant to do what he does.
Right, right.
I think we should appreciate what he has done, and
right.
which is coming back from that shoulder surgery and still throwing triple digits with virtually every fastball was fascinating to me. And
yeah.
I think I'm just not sure the human arm is meant to do what he does. And but hey, if there's a guy who's going to come back, it's him.
Yeah.
I mean, he worked so hard to get back, Jack, that I just have no doubt we're going to see him back in a Tigers uniform.
Dan Dickerson, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers on the radio network, along with Jim Price. Dan, a couple of real surprises this year. Some people thought Austin Jackson could, if not completely replace Curtis Granderson in the fans' minds, at least give us some of that production back. And then Brennan Bosch kind of came out of nowhere for most fans, and that's been about as important as anything else as the Tigers' first place.
No question. I mean, to stabilize the middle of that order, I'm not a big fan of the whole idea of protection, but the fact is the 3-4-5 looks pretty darn good right now for
right.
the Tigers
right.
with Bosch in that number 5 spot behind Cabrera. And if teams choose to pitch around Cabrera, and they still do, I mean, he's been walked intentionally 8 times and he's been unintentionally walked several other times, then Brennan Bosch can make him pay.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's impressed me is his consistency. He's only had a couple of times so far, Jack, where he's gone back-to-back games without a hit.
Right.
I think there was one stretch of 3 games, and yet in one of those games he walked 3 times. Then there was a stretch of 2 games, and that's been it. So he's always been able to manage to, you know, get that one hit, even to, which I think is important, because when you start getting the offers piling up, or 1-for-15 or 2-for-20, I think that's when, you know, maybe a rookie can get in trouble. But this young man is special, and who knows where he's going to end up. I think people want to know, can he keep it up? Well, we're seeing a lot of things that suggest he can keep up, maybe not 340,
right?
But be a 300 hitter with power, because his walks are going up, the strikeouts are reasonable. He's hitting some of the very toughest lefties, and I think that's often a problem for young left-handed hitters.
Right.
Often will take years because they just don't see as many lefties. So there are a lot of things that make you believe, if not at this level, he's going to keep up a very high level of production.
Yeah, and psychologically, mentally, he seems maybe more mature than a lot of people would have guessed.
He's smart. He is. He's mature. He's smart. He knows what he wants to know about a pitcher that he's never seen before, but then he also doesn't want too much information so that he can just go up there and react. And I think that's his great gift, his ability to react to what he's seeing, and he sees the ball very well.
And he's got a guy on base in front of him a lot with Miguel
lot.
Cabrera. So, you know, you see a guy who at this point of the season, just before the All-Star break and past the midpoint of the season, is in position, at least, to be talked about as a Triple Crown candidate the rest
yep.
of the way. I would guess that in terms of what he brings to the lineup, that has to give Jim Leland as good a feeling as any manager in the major leagues.
There's just something about him, Jack, in the middle of that lineup. It just changes the look. He's missed a few games, a couple in Seattle and one here, and when he's not in there, it makes a difference. It's just, I'm a big believer that a star in the middle of a lineup can have a ripple effect going up and down the lineup.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I think we've seen that with Mauer and Morneau in Minnesota.
Right.
I think they've made Kadire and Kubel better, and I think Cabrera has that impact on hitters up and down this lineup. It's just, it's amazing how many big hits he's come up with.
And right.
As good as his season was on paper last year, it really wasn't even close to what he's doing this year, because you can look at it when his home runs have come. In the late innings they've come, and they've come in games where the Tigers are behind or tied. So they're giving the Tigers lead, they're tying a game, or they're breaking a tie over and over and over. It's been
yeah.
impressive.
The game the other night when Damon hit the home run and won it with the walk-off, of course, the tying home run in the ninth inning from Cabrera was just as big a hit. And when he was standing at the plate and he missed the first ball and came back, and you just knew he was going to make solid contact.
You almost, I mean, some were wondering if he even set him up. I mean, that's how good he is. I mean, whether he did or not. You're right. He got the same pitch, and boy, he didn't miss it. And that was just as big as any hit in that game. Again, he's hitting home runs in the ninth inning with the Tigers trailing, and it's impressive.
Dan, the last question. It's easy to get into hyperbole with a guy like Miguel Cabrera, but you've watched an awful lot of Tigers baseball, and I've seen him going back to the mid-1950s. I think I saw my first game when I was 4 years old. And I was saying that you might have to go all the way back to a Hank Greenberg. I'm not talking about an all-around player and the things Al Kaline did, but just in terms of a hitter, to find a guy you can talk about in this conversation with this consistency at this age as Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, with the whole package. I mean, again, there have been some pretty good hitters along the way, but the whole package. Just hit 340 with 4140 potential. I mean, that's the track he's on right now. That's a rare thing. I mean, Maglio's season was one of the great ones ever in 2008 when he hit 360, or 2007. But, I mean, this is really something. And there haven't been many who compare in the 110 years.
Going down the stretch here, you've got the Twins, and something tells me they're not going away. The White Sox got that big blow with Jake Peavy and the injury.
Big blow.
Which of those teams do you think is more likely to be there at the end as the Tigers' chief rival?
Oh, that's a tough one. I guess the PB injury has tilted me probably more toward the Twins. If you'd asked me with PB, I just thought Chicago maybe was the team to beat because of their bullpen depth. I mean, Freddy Garcia is 9-3,
right?
And he's been steady. It may be a different style, Freddy Garcia, but he's been pretty darn steady. And I just thought their 1-5 in their rotation was as good as almost anybody in the American League. But the loss of Peavy's big. He put together 6-7 starts that were just outstanding.
Right.
And getting into the, you know, shape that everybody thought he would be. So I think the thing that we found out about the Twins is their starting rotation is not as strong 1-5. And I think whoever figures out a way to shore up that rotation 1-5, and I do think we're going to see moves in the next few weeks.
Right.
And I think everybody in the Central probably will try to make a move. I think that to me, the rotation, if you look at those three teams, the rotation still will determine it. I think the Tigers need either more from what they have in terms of stability to get that 1-5 consistency, or, you know, need to add. And I'm not sure which it will be.
Right.
I don't think that's any great secret. The Tigers starters right now are 12th, and I think that's the whole key in the second half, because I do think the bullpen is going to be okay, even without Zamaya.
Sure.
I still think there are enough arms there that it's going to be fine.
Dan Dickerson, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers, our guest as we approach the All-Star game coming up Tuesday night. Dan, thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy a couple days off over the break.
Sure will, Jack. Always good talking with you.
All right. We'll be back with more of the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.